Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the September Ordinary Council meeting. And before starting, I'd like to respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. It is a privilege to be standing on the Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO.
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, CEO. Now that the meeting is fully open, do you have any apologies that have been declared?
No, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, question time for the public. Notification for deputations. I understand that we have received a question from a Mr. Ron D'Agostino. Is he in the audience, please? Please come forward, sir. Please state your name and address.
Yes, my name is Ron D'Agostino, 20 Beacon Terrace, East Perth.
Thank you.
That's the question?
Yes. Yes,
yeah, sir. I said the question. It was lengthy. I guess it's lengthy. You have it. And so what I thought I'd do is just summarize my question. And that is that I've heard since March the term of rates freeze. And then when I opened up my rates envelope and looked at the number, it was nothing like a rates freeze. So I did some research and I found out the definition of this rates yield freeze. Okay, so four-part question. First is it... some rates went down, some rates stayed the same, some rates went up. Just asking for a bit of transparency. Some councils have provided that, like Fremantle. They let the ratepayers know the percentage of rates that went down stayed the same and went up. And those rates that did go up, what was the highest percentage that they did go up? The second part of the question has to do with different cities doing different things. Like there were some cities in the metropolitan area that introduced a rate freeze. So what you paid last year is what you paid this year. So this council here introduced the rate yield freeze. So just a question on why you thought one was better than the other. The next part is more specific to me. My GRV went down by 4.5%, yet my rates went up by 2.8%, which is twice Perth CPI. Okay, that was the outcome. That's what happened. I understand that. But the council is saying that you're going to freeze fees and charges. So you're freezing fees and charges, but for some ratepayers, you're increasing their rates by twice CPI. Do you think that's fair and equitable? And then the final part is that next year, when you undertake your rate methodology, are you going to do anything for the ratepayers that had a rate increase this year? Wow, that was a lot. So thanks a lot.
Sure. Look, I think the information that you've requested is all fair and reasonable to provide, so there's no problems there. In the context of other local governments that have actually done a no rate movement, I don't know how that would be possible to do that. But in the circumstances of the city, we thought that the only fair way of doing the rate freeze was to use the yield approach, because that actually is the approach that's legislated for. The Local Government Act provides that when a city brings down a budget, it should do so by establishing the required rate yield. So I don't know how these local governments have done this and complied with the Act. Good luck to them if they have, but we'll certainly research that and get back to you. The final question is that, as commissioners, this is our last meeting. There'll be an elected Lord Mayor and councillors in control as from October the 17th. And from there, those questions, which are essentially political policy questions, what are you going to do for the ratepayers next year? That's something that they could deal with. But in saying that, though, the Local Government Act provides that the valuation of property is the way that rates are distributed, so that the valuations are indeed a relativity index for sharing out the yield. So short of reducing the yield requirements, I'm not sure how councils could do with that. But CEO, would it be appropriate to seek Mr Kent's comments on that, please?
Yes, Chair. Commissioner, if we could invite Project Director Strategic Finance to answer the questions.
Thank you very much, through the Chair. Firstly, just to begin the response, thank you to Mr D'Agostino for being so kind as to provide the questions in advance so there was an opportunity to, in fact, research what's a fairly complex issue. If I may, I'm going to answer Mr D'Agostino's second question first because it provides context that is then relevant from there on. So the second question related to why we didn't just basically keep the rates the same as last year. Why did we choose the no increase in yield methodology? To give some context for that, gross rental values in the city of Perth actually decreased by almost 14% through the Landgate revaluation, which equates to a $13.8 million decline in rates. Had we have kept the same rate in the dollar and just used those reduced valuations, it would have severely compromised the city's ability, firstly, to support its $20 million COVID-19 economic rebound response, or alternatively, that would have been around about an 8% across-the-board reduction in service levels to the community. So that in itself gives some context. The question around the movement in increases and why it was seemed inconsistent for different ratepayers, to understand that, I guess the best way to do that is, first of all, to look at each property category, the overall valuation change, and then the maximum increase and decrease. For example, in the commercial property category, there was a 9% decrease in overall GRV, but that varied from plus 283% to minus 82%. In the hotel category, it was 24% decrease, but that varied from plus 35 to minus 41. Retail was 24.7, that varied from plus 47 to minus 52%. Office was an 11.7% change overall, but that was varied between 89% positive and minus 52. Residential, which I believe is the category in which Mr. D'Agostino's property sits, was an 8.1% change. However, that varied from plus 76% to minus 52%. Now, bearing in mind that the city can only apply one rate in the dollar to the GRV, when you've got that sort of breadth and disparity of valuations, it's quite evident from that that there are going to be some people who will be advantaged by the revaluation and some that will be disadvantaged. So in order to answer Mr. D'Agostino's question about the number of people or percentage of people that got increases, decreases or whatever, and I apologise, it's a slightly different format, but I've gone decrease 0 to 2% increase and increase greater than 2%. That was how the analysis worked out. In the residential category, it was 35% decrease, 7 in the 0 to 2 and 58% increase. In hotels, it was 60% decrease, 1% 0 to 2, and 39% more than 2%. In office, it was 34% decrease, 8% in the 0 to 2, and 58% increase, similar in a couple of the other categories. So what you can see from that is there is necessarily going to be variation in there, and the city adopted a stance of trying to put the most people in the least disadvantaged way. In relation to the question about why we didn't follow CPI, I have a quite strong view on this. CPI and the basket of goods that are used to measure that actually don't have a lot of relevance to local government when you consider it includes things such as education, medical expenses, housing, clothing, tobacco, alcohol, even bananas, some of which I'm sure you'll understand have a limited relevance to local government, so we don't generally be guided by CPI, and the GRV itself is used as a way of equitably distributing the contributions of the relative property categories. So in that case, whilst I understand Mr. D'Agostino's property increased by a little more than the CPI, I hope the answers to the two previous questions have given him context. And in relation to his last question about what we would be doing next year, it's important to note there is no revaluation of gross rental values next year. So whatever change occurs, if there is any in rates, it will be equally distributed across all properties in all property categories.
Thank you. And Mr. D'Agostino will be given a written response with all the details.
I can supply him what I've just said, if that's appropriate.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you for raising your concerns. I appreciate you making the effort. Okay, we're moving now on to members on leave of absence for applications for leave of absence. It's going to be a huge absence from us after October the 17th, but we don't need to take leave on that. So do we have any in the interim, commissioners? No? Not taking any leave? Very good. The next item on the agenda is confirmation of the minutes. And I'll be happy to do them in on block here. Okay, could I seek a mover then for the confirmation of the ordinary council meeting minutes on 25 August, the special council meeting minutes on the 27th of August, 15th of September and 17th of September. Thank you, Commissioner Cassava. Thank you, Commissioner McMath. I'll put that motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried. Thank you. Okay, announcements by the Chair Commission. I have one which is a clarifying statement. I understand that at the last meeting a deputation was made to the meeting, and it was mentioned that the Reverend Peter Rebetz had attended meetings with the City relating to the Christmas Nativity event. Reverend Rebetz has written to us and asked us to explain and confirm that he indeed had not met or taken place in meetings with council. Okay, could I please have that recorded on the minutes? As far as further announcements go, it would obviously be remiss of me not to give some reflection on the events of the last couple of years. And as this is the Commissioner's last ordinary council meeting, March 2018, which is a long time ago now, I was in a car on the way to the airport for a wedding in Melbourne, something you can't do anymore, and got a phone call, said, hey, do you want to be commissioner at the City of Perth? I feigned my delight and said, oh yeah, I think I'll think about it, but of course was delighted to be given that opportunity, and also delighted to be able to meet 3 days later my colleague, Commissioner McMath, also the late Eric Lumsden, who sadly left us after a short and vicious battle with cancer. And certainly I'm sure our thoughts are still all with Eric. God bless him. I can recall when we started. I can remember that's the first day I'd ever met Guy, and we looked at each other and just shook our head. The organisation was in a meltdown. It was under siege. It's fair to say that it required huge interventions on a range of areas. Not only did we have that, we had the inquiry hanging over the head of staff. And, of course, that took a whole lot longer than we thought it would. And to the degree that we were first appointed, I think, for a period of 12 months. And we find now that it's been close to 2.5 years. Over that time, though, we were able to, I think, introduce the changes that were necessary to bring the city back to a level of proper governance and proper standards. We aren't there 100% yet. We still have a way to go, but all organisations can improve. They should improve forever. But what we have done is firstly managed to get a framework of business planning within the organisation that enables decision makers to have a good understanding of what the current financial position of the city is and what the future financial position of the city is, aligned to the projects that have been identified as necessary in the strategic community plan. That in my mind is the most transformational thing that has happened to the city. We've moved from what has been a quite archaic annual budget negotiation into a more strategic oversight of a corporate business plan whose principal purpose is to advise the government. Along the way, we've had to replace some key staff. We've had to appoint some expert staff. We've had two CEOs. We've had Murray Jorgensen, who was appointed in an acting capacity, who did an absolutely marvellous job in assembling a really competent and well-performing executive, but also did a lot of work in restoring confidence and morale across the organisation. Murray, I think, as we stand, is probably sitting sipping a beer in the Exmouth Caravan Park or somewhere up north. Good luck to him. I'm sure we'll catch up with him again. And following on from there, we've been lucky enough to secure the services of Michelle, who in her brief time here has done a marvellous job, and I'm sure will continue to do so and become a very long-serving and eminent local government practitioner. During that time, we oversaw a regime of reducing full-time equivalent staff by about 100, and we're able to free up recurrent expenditure to the tune of $10 million, which is really significant in the context of being able to fund future programs. Through the services of Commissioner McMath, we were able to re-engage with a lot of our important stakeholders. Some relationships had been terribly fractured over time for whatever reason, but we did make a commitment that we weren't going to ask questions why things had happened. Other people can ask those questions. We were about restoring things and fixing things up for the future. One of Commissioner McMath's principal achievements was to elevate the issue of homelessness to its rightful status as one of the key strategic challenges facing the city. Through Gay's efforts, I'm delighted to see that the current Lord Mayoral campaign features homelessness as one of the key issues. The commissioners weren't in a position to be able to solve or resolve homelessness. That would be very difficult. However, we were able, through our staff, Anne and Emma, there you are at the back, able to certainly engage with the proper stakeholders of the issues, and also elevate it to a degree now that I think the state government will be in earnest discussions with the new council and the Lord Mayor about how collectively and collaboratively the city and the state can deal with this problem. Along the other way, like some of these issues may be small wins, but I think the installation of parklets in East Perth and West Perth, the free introduction of free al fresco dining received much acclaim, and our free parking in the East Perth and West Street, East Perth and West Perth High Street areas, and also the Saturday, Sunday and public holiday free parking. They're still called trials, and I guess it's up to the new council to decide whether they want to take them away or not. I certainly hope they stay, but we'll just remain to be seen on that. Along the way also, we dealt with the local planning strategy, which upon its draft submission to the commissioners really lacked what we thought was the aspiration to improve this city and make it more sustainable. And after discussions with a range of stakeholders, including some meetings with Property Council, Urban Development Institute, etc., etc., it became apparent that the key objective for the city is to create an environment where we can quickly establish a resident population of 90,000 people. That 90,000 people will have the ability to make our community safer, make our streets more active. It will provide a critical mass for community, sporting and educational requirements, and it will provide a boost to our core retail area, which, as we all know now, is does not enjoy the catchment of the broader residential area. So we have to bring people to its catchment, not the other way around. I'm delighted to see that our revised local planning strategy addresses and embraces the 90,000 people objective, and it also has been taken up by the Property Council and by other major bodies, and I would urge everyone in this room that any decision that is made regarding the future of the city should accommodate the need to, as soon as is practicable, have a 90,000 resident population. From there, getting on to the governance areas, I'm pleased to say that the Commissioners adopted three policies, a governance policy, a strategy policy, and a policy on policies, that will serve to ensure that both the community and the elected members are effectively and sincerely involved with policy and strategy discussion. I think one of the key areas of discontent in previous times was decisions were made on important matters without regular or effective consultation, and that was between not only the council and the community, but also between the staff and the council. The more communication that we can have, the better off everyone will be, and I am sure that those three, what I would say are foundation policies, will form the basis of a very strong governance effort in the future. Now to the city deal. We worked hard for that, and I know that both myself and Guy and Len were involved in throwing around the ideas and also probably being pretty forthright in opposing certain things that we didn't want in the city deal and things that we did want. And look, to have ECU come into Yagan Square is something that is beyond our wildest dreams. That is going to be the catalyst to start that journey for 90,000 people, and it's going to provide a whole lot more activity at that end of town, provide a much more functional linkage with Northbridge, I'm just so delighted it's happening, along with the response to homelessness. Once again, thanks Guy for keeping people to account on that. We have the Perth Concert Hall redevelopment. We've got over $100 million worth of transport related projects, which I understand are part of the Perth Parking Fund. And we had the Wacker redevelopment, which once again, a mainstream recreation facility and swimming pool is something that our resident community wants. If they haven't got facilities like that, they won't live here. From there, let's look for a primary school, and let's look for some mainstream sporting facilities, and then we'll start mixing it with the other areas in the metropolitan area as a good place to live. Now I'd like to pass on some thanks. Firstly to Guy. We've worked together now for 2.5 years. A career highlight for me to work with you, Guy. And your insight as an executive director certainly has been fantastic. When you get on a tough issue, you don't step back. You aren't concerned about what people think or say. You have certainly made every decision and very many tough decisions and dealt with tough issues in the best interests of the City of Perth. So on behalf of the City of Perth and the community, I thank you for your efforts. It's been wonderful to work with you. Len, you're insightful and at times humorous. Oversight, the unbelievable attention to detail, and inputs as a replacement to Eric have been really well received, and look, just the three of us working together, I actually really enjoy our chats together. I know we've disagreed on things and we should disagree, that's been important, but it's a period in my professional life that I will cherish, the ability to work with you guys, so thank you very much for that. Thank you to all staff here for dealing with the incredible amounts of change that you've had to deal with. You come on board, you're dealing with this huge transformational effort, and then this virus hits. And so not only have we got an organisation in flux, but now we've got an organisation in flux that has been challenged by COVID. And with the commissioners saying, right, all discretionary expenditure is out the window, we want to redirect it, please, to COVID-related actions. And I was absolutely stunned that we were able to do that in such a short time. I don't think people recognise or realise how much effort went into that. So thank you very much. It's been an enormous privilege to work with you all. And in closing, I'd like to thank the community for understanding the need for the commissioners to have to be overseeing the city for this 2.5 years. Most of the feedback we have received has been positive. We have received some criticism, some founded, some not. However, I think as commissioners we are confident that we leave the city of Perth in a much better place than we found it. We leave it with much better systems, much better policies, and in my opinion, much better staff. So on that basis, good luck to you all, and enjoy the City of Perth, and make sure that the City of Perth is there for the residents and the community, and everybody that comes and visits. Thank you. But now, like...
excuse me, Chair. May I seek leave to speak?
Yeah.
Thank you. Andrew, it's been an absolute delight working with you and you, Len. I think it would be remiss not to acknowledge the enormous breadth and depth of experience that you, as our current chair, brings to the city. And on behalf of Len, and I think I speak also for the staff, we would very much like to thank you for your leadership. I think one of the things that has defined the way that we've all approached this is we've always taken a Team Perth approach, and that even though we may have chosen to have debate and differences of opinion under your chairmanship, there's always been an opportunity to reach a consensus and get behind a decision. So I think if those attributes go forward to the way the elected members perform with the best interests of the city at heart, taking a Team Perth approach, leading through influencing and working cooperatively, then the style of leadership that you've brought to the chair's role will stand the city in good stead. So it's been a pleasure working with you as well, and I'd also like to particularly thank all the members of the staff for their support and consideration over 2.5 years, and it has been a great pleasure. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, disclosure of members' interests, please. Do we have any? Okay. Questions by members of which due notice have been given? No. Correspondence relating to the meeting?
No, Chair.
Okay. Petitions?
No, Chair.
Matters for which the meeting may be closed?
Yes, Chair. There are three matters. Confidential attachment 13.3A, which relates to the Christmas lights trail budget variation. A confidential item in 13.20, which relates to a proposed new lease agreement between the City of Perth and the Health Management Systems. And also a confidential attachment to item 13.21 involving a tender and black granite curb.
Thank you, CEO. Moving on now then to the reports for consideration by Council. I put forward the first item 13.1. The supplementary information in regarding the advertising amendment number 41, which is the, for want of a better word, the Northbridge noise amendment.
Happy to move, Chair Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner Cassava.
Thank you,
Thank you. Do we have any discussion on that item? If that is the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried 3-0. Next item is item 13.2, the initiation of amendment number 46, which the quaint term of normalisation, it's essentially the transfer of land from development WA stock to the City of Perth control. Do I have a mover, please?
Happy to move, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Cassata.
Seconded.
Thank you, Commissioner Matthews. Is there any discussion on those items? Thank you. I'll put the motion. Thank you. Motion carried 3-0. Can I please pass on my compliments to the planning staff, particularly with item 13.1, which has been a quite a complex and long-running issue, which has been dealt with very well. Next item, 13.3, Christmas lights trial budget variation. There have been some... there was some items circulated today. Commissioner Cassova, you have some comments on that, please.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner, I'd be happy to move the motion for the sake of getting it on the table for discussion, and then also I'd like to give consideration to moving behind closed doors so that we can have some discussion very briefly in relation to that confidential attachment to just test the confidentiality of it, if we may.
I think perhaps it might be appropriate to have those discussions not behind closed doors. For reason, and
I'm happy to do either. That's fine. On that basis, I'll just move the motion so that we
let's
can
move the motion. And, okay. The issue for the benefit of the gallery is that at last week's agenda briefing session, we the commissioners asked, "Well, we've received $475,000 in donations. Who are they from?" And the staff have gone out and got us that information to a degree. However, it has come back as being confidential information. So, Commissioner Cassova, you can take it from there.
Through you, Chair, sorry.
Did we want to get a seconder first?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Commissioner. Yes, I raised some questions on this with staff via email earlier this afternoon. Forgive me if staff haven't had an opportunity to review them in any detail yet, but I'm happy to run through them for the benefit of everyone at the meeting. Through you, Chair, and that is that, as you've rightly indicated, staff kindly provided a list of funding contributors to the Christmas lights trial, which is greatly appreciated. However, a number of the entities that are listed as funding contributors are not entities at all, but rather they are geographical places. So my first question is just if I can please obtain some clarification from staff as to whether or not there was any non-disclosure agreement or confidentiality clauses entered into or offered by the city or entered into by those contributors in the granting of those funding commitments or in-kind contributions towards the Christmas lights trail.
Through the Chair, can we invite the General Manager Community Development to make any comments?
I'm sorry I'm unable to answer that. I have missed your email this afternoon, but we do have the Alliance Manager for the area who may be able to provide that information if you're prepared to accept her. Comment on this?
Certainly. Tabitha, please come forward.
Apologies. I actually don't have the... I was actually trying to bring it up now, but I don't have the exact wording or clauses, so I'm not prepared to say what the exact clause in the funding agreement would be. However, I can speak to the reason why we submitted it as a confidential item, if that is helpful. The reason why is because we felt that for these organizations, they usually like to have a say in the marketing and release of when their participation in the Christmas lights trail is announced. So we just felt that to put that up in a council agenda in terms of the different participants would kind of rob them of that opportunity. So I'm not prepared with the exact legal basis for that decision, but that's was sort of the gist of why we made that recommendation.
So, through the chair, can I just ask as a point of clarification then, that the contribution that each of those entities provides entitles them to certain sponsorship claims or benefits as part of the Christmas Lights Trail, whether that's marketing or material or promotion, etc.?
So the way it works is anyone who is contributing to the Christmas Lights Trail would have a experience in the vicinity of their retail precinct, for lack of a better word, and that is all linked into the broader marketing campaign around the Christmas Lights Trail, which the city delivers. So obviously we have, so they essentially just get it by virtue of being a participant in the Lights Trail, but the exact locations of the Christmas Lights Trail experiences isn't released until later down on down the track as part of a broader media and marketing campaign.
So again, through the chair, on that basis, there would not, in my mind, seem to be any issue or concern, or certainly no breach of a Local Government Act provision, if we were to disclose the funding partners or contributors, not as they are listed in that attachment, because, as I said, in some cases it doesn't describe the entities, it only describes the geographical location. So I'd like, just through you, Chair, some feedback from staff as to, is there any issue or concern with disclosing the actual funding partners as opposed to the geographical locations that they may or may not have an interest in?
I suppose in the instance where there's not a clear relationship between the funding entity and the location, and I'd have to go back and look at the list to make an assessment of that, but where there's not a clear delineation, so you wouldn't be able to tell where the experience would be happening in relation to that funding, that would be fine to disclose that funding partner. But I think that would be all right.
Could I, just on a broader ethical issue, firstly, I don't believe that that is a trade secret. I don't believe that we really could or indeed should set confidentiality on that. I think there's a broader issue here, and that is if any entity donates or enters into an agreement with council, then the community and the council has a right to know who that entity is. Because in terms of ethical considerations, there may well be some companies and entities that the city should not enter into partnerships or receive money from. And so therefore, I'd be more comfortable if the exact name of the entities that were wanting to contribute to the Christmas Lights Trail form part of the minutes and had full disclosure. I don't see how disclosing their entity's name is going to have any strategic impact on the impact of the Christmas light show, but I'm concerned that in a risk context and in a good governance context, that the city is receiving money from what are essentially secret entities in order to deliver a program. So if there is an organisation that is unwilling to have the name of their entity disclosed, then I'll ask the question, well, why?
Yeah, so. I apologise. The reason the entities aren't in there is simply an oversight. We should have put the proper entity name, not the location.
Sure.
And I can certainly check the agreements, and certainly we didn't consult with any of the entities before making it confidential.
Okay, so they don't have an expectation of confidentiality?
Only what's in the agreement, which I'd have to check. I apologise. It was put through a bit in a hurry, so I'd have to check all that. Apologies.
So, on that basis is, I'd be happy if we could, firstly, I don't believe it's appropriate that we move behind closed doors to discuss this, because it truly isn't a confidential issue. The community has a right to know. But if CEO, through you, are we able to deal with this matter and then maintain some form of confidentiality on the entities until such time as we're confirmed that they're happy with that. But once again, I don't see how confidentiality in a contribution to a Christmas lights trail is relevant. I just don't. I can't see it.
Yeah. Through the chair, if I could maybe invite our governance manager to make a comment as in relation to the appropriateness.
Through the chair, in accordance with Section 5.232 of the Local Government Act, the council can actually the council may decide to close a meeting to members of the public. So I guess the key word here is may. I guess in response to a certain set of criteria. I suppose the one we're talking about now, I would imagine, refers to Part C of that, which is a contract that's entered into or which may be entered into by the local government. However, I do have to just stress or emphasize that the closing of the meeting is at the discretion of the council by moving that procedural motion.
Exactly right. Firstly, is it necessary to deal with this at this meeting, or can we defer to the next meeting?
We can certainly defer. Yeah.
Councillors, would it be more appropriate, firstly, to defer, but on the basis that we believe it's in the best interests of good governance that the donors or the contributors to this program are afforded full disclosure?
Through you, Chair, yes, I would certainly agree with that.
Mm. Okay, so for the purposes of the minutes then, that the matter be deferred until the next council meeting, ordinary council meeting, and that the commissioners request that the details of the entities that are wishing to participate in the trial are fully disclosed. Yes. Yeah.
Through the chair, I just want to clarify. Are you suggesting that this matter be deferred to the next ordinary meeting of council?
That's yes, what I said, the ordinary council meeting.
Or would a special council meeting
suffice? No, I said the ordinary council meeting. Okay. Good. If we've got that motion, I'll move that. Anybody seconder, please? Thank you. On that basis, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried 3-0. For the record of the minutes, the reason that the commissioners did not adopt the officer's recommendation was they believed that matters relating to the disclosure of the donors needed clarification prior to decision making. Next item on the agenda is item 13.4, the adoption of the Heritage Strategy 2020-2024. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. Do we have any discussion or comments?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to compliment and thank the staff who have put in considerable effort to this important document to guide the city on its way forward with respect to the important issue of heritage and strategy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, through the Chair. Also, just to commend the staff and all external stakeholders and community members who provided input into this enormous document, or this important document, rather. I do have one question, and that's in relation to the document tree or the chart that's shown on page 5 of the strategy, or page 319 of the agenda papers, please. And I was trying to find this answer for myself, but I had a little bit of difficulty doing so. So if I may, through the chair, just ask a question to the GM. That diagram or flowchart on page 5 of the strategy identifies, going down the page, vision, values, focus areas, objectives and key initiatives. The focus areas, of which there are 4, have the 2 on the left and the 2 on the right paired up. So U and P, understanding and protecting, are connected with consultation. S and C to the right, supporting and communicating, are connected to collaboration. I just wanted to double check that the depiction of those relationships is exactly as per that diagram, and that those 4 focus areas should not more generically connect up into the 3 values, or if 2 of the focus areas are solely aligned to consultation and the other 2 are solely aligned to collaboration.
I'm sorry, Chair, I'm just having a look at the
that's okay.
the diagram yeah. to understand it myself. As I understand it, the two on the left do absolutely relate to consultation, and the other two do relate to collaboration, as indicated in the table. That would be my understanding.
Commissioner Cassava.
Thanks, Chair. No, I'm happy with that. It wasn't Dorothy Dix. I was genuinely just wanting to check that is the correct representation of it. Yeah. Thanks.
Stunning attention to detail. Right. Okay. I'd like to just give my congratulations and acknowledgement to the staff that have put in this. I know Tabitha included. It has been a little bit of a rocky road towards this, so it's a wonderful effort and a really good outcome, so well done. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried 3-0. Next item on the agenda, item 13.5, it's the event sponsorship for the NAIDOC Week Opening Ceremony. Page 362. Do I have a mover, please? Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Thank you, Commissioner Cassava. Is there any discussion on this item?
No, thank you, Chair.
Yes, through you, Chair, I do, please. Question I've just got to the officers in relation to the request. So the request was for $30,000. The recommendation is for $25,000, and I appreciate that that's $5,000 more than Council allocated to this initiative last year. I then started to look through the detailed officer assessment, which is contained in attachment 13.5A, to understand why the additional $5,000 wasn't supported. The best that I could do was on page 364 of the agenda papers under essential assessment criteria. There's three dot points above the assessment table that says, you know, if you want under this amount, you have to address three criteria. If you want between this and this amount, you have to address five essential criteria. And if you want more than 40 or more, you have to address all six of the essential criteria. So the question in my mind is, what does address mean? The fact that you provide any statement or response to that criteria at all arguably constitutes addressing it. Or by address, do we mean that it has to pass a certain threshold score that is assessed by staff in order for it to be deemed addressed? And I'm asking all of that in the context of why can't we provide this worthwhile event the extra $5,000?
Through the Chair, there isn't a minimum requirement that they have to meet. It's really to address through their response in their grant application that they meet the criteria, and there is benchmarking that is used across all the applications. In this case, though, the decision to increase the amount by $5,000 was simply to recognise the difficult times of COVID-19, and it was an increase, a reasonable increase from previous years. However, I would absolutely support extra funding to meet their requested amount, and certainly our budget can accommodate that. So we'd still have an excess of $220,000 left for the rest of the financial year.
Thank you, through the Chair, for that response. I would be happy to move an amendment to increase the amount to the full request of $30,000.
Okay, do I have a seconder for that?
I'm happy to second, Chair.
Okay, any discussion?
My only comment is my understanding of the essential assessment criteria was that because this event was in the Supreme Court Gardens and hence had a lower level of event activation in the city more generally was where that was marked down. Having said that, I'm still happy to support it. Thank you.
Okay. If that's the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried. And Commissioner Cassava, would you be kind enough just to give a reason for the minute taker as to why the officer's recommendation was amended, please?
In
sure. One sentence.
One sentence. Oh, wow. Why use one sentence when 10 will do? Fundamentally, I would say because, in my opinion, the proposal has the capability to comfortably address five of the essential criteria. I can't speak for the veracity of the information that was submitted with the application, although when I look at the third last and last of the essential criteria, my view is that this type of event absolutely does have the capacity to positively contribute to those scores.
Thank you. Is that enough, minute taker, please? Yep, good, good. Thank you. Right, next item on the agenda is 13.6, the Neighbourhood Place Planning and Engagement Policy. I'd like to move that. Do I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Commissioner Kosova. Once again, that's a policy that's been a long time in the making and a policy that is transformational with regards the need to treat all of our neighbourhoods differently. So well done to those concerned. I'm sure that that will be a really important guiding instrument in decision making for the future council. Any other discussions?
Through the chair. Oh, sorry, just to entirely agree with what you've said. I think also it's worth commenting that the brevity and simplicity of the policy probably belies its importance and its strategic value. Absolutely, I commend the officers in over the last couple of years working so closely with the relevant neighbourhood groups in the City of Perth. I think they've built fabulous relationships, and I know that they have been contributed to by yourself, Chair Commissioner, also Deputy Chair Commissioner, in the work that you've been doing with those groups. So, well done. I think it's a great step in the right direction. For a long time, historically, the city was not an early adopter of this direction of community engagement and place planning and recognition that every place has its unique character and identity, and attempting to customise your service delivery and your decision making to recognise those things. So I think this is a great framework upon which the city can build on in future.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'd also like to acknowledge the leadership of the late Mr. Eric Lumsden on this matter. I recall in very early days Eric speaking of the importance of neighbourhoods and places, and even though this policy is now only just coming for approval, I think the essence of that original suggestion has been activation by virtue of neighbourhood, place planning and community engagement has really been lived through the city before the policy is actually enacted. I also think it's appropriate to acknowledge the excellent efforts of the different place groups who have absolutely picked up the opportunity for engagement and have been generous in bringing forward what they think is important for their own individual neighbourhood places. And I think that bodes very, very well for greater engagement and community involvement. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. On that basis, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried. Moving on to item 13.8, which is the Council House Workplace Design Review, of which we have had a supplementary report provided. And a... 13.7. Sorry? 13.7. 13.7, sorry. No, it's...
Review of Policy 8.
Oh, God, I've forgotten one. Gee whiz. Sorry. 13.7, Review of Policy 1813, Sponsorship and Grants. I'll have a mover, please.
I didn't move, yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner. I have a seconder, please. Thank you, Commissioner. Is there any discussion on this item?
Nothing,
Chair. Okay, put the motion. Those in favour? Motion carried, 3-0. Right, next. Right, now we hear the 13.8. Council House Workplace Design Review, and the commissioners, after the agenda briefing last week, required significant clarification on what was actually happening, and I'm pleased to see now that we are back into what is a very small scale redefinition of accommodation layout so as to accommodate elected members as a result of the removal of certain facilities that were observed in the City of Perth inquiry as being inappropriate. So, councillors, do I have... just one thing, the recommendation. The term accepts is... I don't know that is the correct term, but I'd like to think here that we just approve these layouts. That's what we're doing. On the basis that the new council will be certainly in right on the ground floor, excuse the pun, in terms of designing any future layouts. So if we could change it to approve, and I'm happy to move that. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Do we have any discussion? Thank you, Commissioner Kosova.
Thank you, through the Chair, for exactly the reason that you've just alluded to in terms of the wording of Recommendation 1.
Yes.
I would also like to delete from the end of the first line in Recommendation 1 and the first line, or the first word in the next line, the words "which includes," because that infers that there are more aspects to it that commissioners are currently endorsing, which is not the case.
No, that's a good point.
I would like
to
delete the words "which includes" and substitute those two words with the word "comprising" or "comprising only," whichever council feels more comfortable with.
Yes.
So I would be comfortable with that, and I also then just have one question on a statement that's included in the report.
Thank you. Mr. Tansey.
Thank you, through the Chair. The question I have is on page 393 of the agenda papers. Sorry, there's no other page numbering to go off, but it's in the details section of the report for those that don't have this page numbering. So the details section of the report, there's a photograph with cream couches and maroon carpet from the City of Wanneroo. Then over the page, there is a underlined subheading that says Option A. My question relates to the paragraph immediately above that subheading, which starts off with the words, "It is to be noted that the conceptual designs..." The second sentence in that paragraph says, "Following the acceptance of the concept design, a detailed design process can then commence." Given the fairly small scope of what is being contemplated now, could I just get some clarification from officers through you, Chair, in relation to the detailed design process, what that exactly comprises, given that elsewhere in the report it does state that we're going through a competitive procurement process?
I think probably the your First Amendment or your resolves that issue, because clearly the intent of the motion now, and I think we can elucidate that in the reason, is that all this is about is accommodation for councillors. It is not about other major redesign of the areas. That is something for the new council, something for the Lord Mayor to deal with. So I'd suggest that if council approves the council house concepts for the consolidation of councillor amenities, leave it at that, any discussion on do we need to take this any further than this is something for the Lord Mayor and councillors. It is not something for the commissioners to deal with. Is that clear to everybody here? So good. So if that is the case, then could I suggest that the reason for this is that for those changes, firstly approve and then those other changes, which is deleting the words "from where," Commissioner Kosova?
Through you, Chair, just deleting the words "which includes," and in your commentary just a moment ago you suggested replacing those words with the word "for," which I'm completely comfortable with.
Okay, and the reason for that is that the commissioners want to be absolutely clear that this proposal is about relatively minor consolidation of councillor, elected member facilities as a result of the closure of the dining room and individual serviced offices. That's the first bit. Second bit, I'll claim two sentences for the reason. Second one is, any future consideration of redesign, consolidation or refitting of council house is left to the consideration and discussion of the council. Happy with that clarification? Okay, on that basis then I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Thank you. Motion is carried 3-0. Okay, next item on the agenda is the City of Perth Parking Business Plan. I guess we're endorsing the draft so as it can go out for public comment. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Cassava is mover. Do you have any comments?
Yes, through you, Chair. Commissioner, I do. My comment relates to page 3 of 22 in the business plan, which appears at page 419 of the agenda papers.
Yes.
In particular, it's the bold text towards the bottom of the dot points near the edge of near the bottom of that page, which says, the City of Perth has now issued this CPP business plan bracket major trading undertaking for public comment and is seeking feedback from the residential and business community within the City of Perth to incorporate into a final CPP business plan. I'm proposing to strike out some of those words because, firstly, we are not confining the consultation just to residential and business community of the City of Perth.
Yes.
And secondly, it is not consultation for the purposes of incorporating those that comment or feedback into a final CPP business plan.
Okay, I think we'll just put a line through the entire paragraph.
I was going to get more creative, but I'm equally happy with that.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't appear in the final business plan
anyway.
No,
there's no need to. Okay, so, yeah, that's taken on board. I'm happy with that situation. We sought clarification on the entity in the agenda papers here. It is CPP. It's not City of Perth Parking, it's CPP. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Tan.
On the cover page, it's City of Perth Parking in brackets CPP.
Right. If that's the case, then the actual recommendation should carry the full name of the entity. So that should be City of Perth Parking Business Plan. There's no need to have the term major trading undertaking in brackets in the motion, nor is there a need to have a reference to the relevant provision of the Act, which has already been discussed in the statutory implications of the report. So I would say that the Council approves the advertising. I'd probably say that a better way to write this would be that Council endorses the draft City of Perth Parking Business Plan for the purposes of public consultation.
Through the Chair, if I may, if we could please, in that respect, retain the reference to attachment 13.9A.
Sure. Yeah. As amended. Yeah, thanks. Okay, on that basis, I'll put that motion. Those in favour? Thank you. Motion is carried. Next item is the City of Perth Monthly Financial Reports, July 2020. Do I have a mover, please? Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Commissioner Cassava, any discussion on that item?
Yes, please, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner.
Through you, Chair, I have a question on page 464, and this relates to notes to the balance sheet and the ratios, noting the significant change to the debt service ratio and the outstanding rates ratio. I felt that that deserved some further explanation given the significance of the change.
Okay, that's Mr. Kent.
happy to provide comment on that. And I guess in essence, it comes down to the fact that the June 2020 is a year-end figure, and the other column is only 1 month into the year. So during the year, that will move more positively in line with the previous year, although it is worth noting that it is expected that the debt service ratio at June 21 will be not as strong as in the 2020 year, and that's because the city has committed to borrowings as part of our budget this year.
Thank you.
Okay, on that basis, any other questions? If not, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. Next item is payments from the municipal fund. Have a mover, please. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. Any discussion on this item?
No, thank you, Chair.
Okay, on that basis, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion carried 3-0. Next item is the Council policy review relating to the rescission of a number of policies. Do I have a mover, please? Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Any discussion on those items? I'd just like to acknowledge the efforts of staff. That's been a difficult process, but I think one that is going a long way to regularising the city's policy framework, so well done. I'll put that motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried 3-0. Next item is the fraud and corruption control policy. Please, do I have a mover, please? Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Any discussion on that item?
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Commissioner.
I'd like to commend staff on bringing this forward. I think it's a policy well overdue and one that's totally appropriate in light of modern day good governance practice. Thank you.
Thank you. In that case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried 3-0. Next item, council member allowance and meeting attendance fees policy. I'd like to move that policy with an adoption of that policy, my apologies, with an amendment, and that is that the policy includes the previously endorsed $3,500 per annum ICT allowance. Do I have a seconder for that motion, please? Thank you, Commissioner. Any further discussion? Okay, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried 3-0. The reason for the amendment to that motion is that the ICT allowance was endorsed by Council in late 2018 and remains as a policy issue and should be paid at the same time as the elected members' allowances and in the same form of quarterly in arrears. Thank you. Item 13.15 has been withdrawn. Item 13.16, the budget implications to the City of Perth inquiry response. Do I have a mover, please? And, Commissioner Kosova, Commissioner McMath, any discussion on those items? Thank you, Commissioner.
Sorry, through you, Chair, Commissioner. It's not a question, just a comment. I think it's perhaps just worth commenting that the budget impact of the works that are described in the report, which arise from recommendations in the power inquiry, are for the most part quite necessary in all local governments of this scale and complexity. And so I think recognition of the cost impacts of following through and implementing those findings and recommendations is not at all a cost consequence that's solely attributable to the inquiry, but rather is simply a measurement of the additional extent of work and resources that is required to stay the city on the course towards good governance and full compliance and strategic leadership. So I think it's a great outcome.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, if that's the case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion is carried. 3-0. Next item on the agenda is City of Perth Achievements, March 2018 to July 2020, which I guess records the journey that the commissioners and staff have been on. One of the things I'd like to point out here, I can remember when we got the draft of this document, and the document said commissioners' achievements, and we immediately said that just is not right, because it has been a team effort with staff, and so it truly is a team effort of achievement with all that have been involved since March 2018. Do I have a mover of the motion, please, to receive that report? Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Any further discussion?
Through you, Chair. Yes, I'm happy to further discuss it. I'm not being a sycophant, but I kept my powder dry at the start of the meeting by not commending the work of staff and also yourself and Deputy Chair Commissioner McMath and former Chair, the late Eric Lumsden. I would just like to say, as the newest kid on the block, that it has actually been a great privilege to be able to contribute towards the work that has occurred here at the City of Perth since my commencement in August last year. It's been a real privilege, Chair Commissioner and Deputy Chair Commissioner, to work with you both and to also be part of the team that is the City of Perth. I think this is a great snapshot of all of the heavy lifting that has been done across the organisation, and that includes among councillors. It's also been successfully delivered because of the support that the city has actually received from so many stakeholders, community groups, residents and ratepayers. So I think kudos goes to everyone who has contributed to the journey. I think it's nice, not so much a scorecard, rather a scoreboard to be able to turn to and point at to say, look, no one has been sitting quietly over the last couple of years doing nothing. There has been an enormous body of work done, and again, Chair Commissioner and Deputy Chair Commissioner, I commend you all, as well as the CEO, past CEO, previous Chair Commissioner and all staff for the great work that they've done in getting to this destination.
Thank you, Commissioner. Those kind words. Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, thank you very much, Len. That's very kind and shouldn't take away from the fantastic contribution that you have made since joining the team in August. Through you, Chair, I think everyone should be very proud of the achievements that have been made. But I do note that this report finishes at July, and appropriately. But if you think of this report as achievements and as the cake, then I'd have to say I think the bringing together of so much investment in the City of Perth through the Perth City deal is the cherry on the cake. I think it addresses many issues that will place the city in good standing going forward, and lots of terms have been used about game changers and population and activation and what have you, but a lot of work has gone into putting that cherry on the cake, and I think that should be acknowledged, not nearly as much as will be in actually implementing it. Thank you.
Yes, can't wait. Yep. Thank you. On that basis, Commissioners, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Motion carried 3-0. Next item on the agenda is the key focus areas for the Chief Executive Officer, and thank you to Michelle for, as requested, putting some time frames on the KFAs. I'm sure that they will provide a very effective guide, not only for your good self, but also for the councillors and the staff. So, do I have a mover for the motion, please? Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. Any further discussion? Yes, Commissioner. So,
apologies, Chair Commissioner. I can't help myself. Just for the avoidance of doubt, and for the record, I would just like to clarify that in the details section of the report, commencing page 700 through to 702,
yes,
that presents the CEO's key focus areas in tabular form, and it lists in the right-hand column deadline. it's not the Commissioner's or Council's role to change the content of the report, but I would just like to clarify that we're not talking about deadline per se, because I think that creates an unenviable scenario for the CEO, but rather that's the target date that the organisation and the CEO would be aiming for.
Yeah, too, just target date instead of deadline.
And then through you, Chair Commissioner, just a couple of queries relating to some of the measurements, if I may, through you perhaps to the CEO. In relation to recommendation 1.3A and C, for example, 1.3A refers to compliance with the particular policy that's mentioned by July 2021. Also, 1.3C talks about elected members having a particular understanding and ownership of strategic issues by July 2021. I raise those as questions just to confirm that the CEO is comfortable with how they are framed because of the degree of subjectivity and lack of control that the CEO might have with Council's view on a couple of those aspects. So I'd be happy to receive any feedback the CEO has. I just really want to make sure that the CEO is comfortable with how the measurements have been described in the context of the timeframes mentioned.
Thank you. Yes, I can see how some of these seem outside potentially of the control of the CEO, with, particularly with regards to, I'm comfortable with 1.3A, which is talking about quality and timeliness and so on of discussion papers. I think particularly those C is the one that is somewhat perplexing, which is around ownership of key strategic issues underpinned by, in the sense that it's very difficult to adjust behaviours or expectations. So if, with your indulgence, we could make an amendment and just say elected members understand the key strategic issues as they have identified.
Could I just... Having been the author of that, I'm happy to have a change, because the intent of C is actually a performance measure of A. If the Strategic Framework Council policy is implemented effectively, the outcome of that is that elected members will have an understanding and ownership of the key strategic issues. That's they are intrinsically linked, and the reason for that is where that leads to is if being measured at the time of the performance appraisal, if a councillor is asked, well, that the policy on blah blah blah, did you feel involved with that? Did you have any ownership of it? Were you there from the beginning, from its genesis of discussion papers, etc.? That is essentially, it's not seen to be mainstream big strategic issues. It's more about the issues that have been brought to the table. So I don't know, it probably could be reworded in such a way.
I wonder if through the chair we might take out and ownership, because that is the subjective element to this. I think it's reasonable to have a good understanding and to have regular interaction, but ownership.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
Through you, Chair, I'd be very comfortable with that, and I think it it establishes the right footing and relationship between the CEO and the incoming council to properly measure that.
Yeah, and look, one of the key shortcomings of the old organisation was there seemed to be quite a discord between the strategy debate and the ownership of the elected group, so hopefully that will change. Yeah. Okay, on that basis, we've got a mover and a seconder. Happy to put that. Those in favour? Motion carried. 3-0. Thank you. Now, the next item on the agenda is the reallocation of budget from the Perth Homegrown Market to the Twilight Hawkers Market. Do I have a mover, please? Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Thank you, Commissioner Kosova. Is there any discussion on that matter? Okay, motion is then put and carried 3-0. Okay, next, the next two items are confidential items. So, could I please put forward a motion that council move to be behind closed doors? Do I have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Commissioner Kosova. I'll put the motion without any discussion. Those in favour, motion is carried 3-0. Ladies and gentlemen in the gallery, would you be kind enough to vacate? At the conclusion of our discussion behind closed doors, we will reopen the meeting and I will give a statement of the motions that were made behind closed doors. Chair Perth, over, and declare the meeting closed. Thank you.
Thank you.